Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 322, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? And thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. Psalter 322, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle general of John, in the fifth chapter, 1 John chapter 5. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, of the heavens and of the earth, we may read in thy holy word of eternal life. That is a life of which we do not know of ourselves. It is a life that we have forfeited in our father Adam. It is a life that is so foreign to our carnal, to our temporal life, wherein we are seeking all the things that are passing away, that are vain. Lord, wilt thou show us that life? Oh, that thou may give us that life, that we may receive a longing as a part of that life. That longing, that desiring for thee, who art God, thou who art he that revealeth thyself in thy word, of whom the whole world ought to receive thy word, and ought to bow before thee and under thy word. But we have heard that the whole world lieth in wickedness, and that is also our state by nature, unless that we are born of God. Lord, we have heard together that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Then we may know what we stand in need of. And then we may hear in thy word what we miss. If we must miss thee in thy Son and that eternal life. But that there may be a hunger and a thirst born this day in our heart. That we also may come to know thee. And that thy dear Son may also become precious and necessary unto us in a personal way. That we may not remain on the outside of this great blessing for time and for that great eternity. Lord, to whom else can we go but unto thee? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and thou canst but speak one word. And what a change shall come in our life. Then we shall become alive from the dead. Then we shall be healed of our awful sickness. Then we shall receive light in the darkness. And we shall begin to see what we are in thy sight. We shall begin to humble ourselves before thee. And we shall begin to yearn and to hunger for thee and for thy righteousness. Lord, that is a life to the honor and to the glory of thy holy name. That is a life that begins from thy side and it ends in thee. A life over which thou dost watch. For thou wilt make the needs of thy people thy own care. Oh, that we also, as sheep here upon this earth, as sheep of an outward and external flock, may also be brought into the fold of that great shepherd, that we may be sheep of thee in truth and in spirit, and that we may not be placed on that great and decisive day, with the goats on thy left hand. Lord, we sit under thy truth, Sabbath after Sabbath day. And we read it in our own homes. Oh, we bend our own knees before Thee in our secret places. But we cannot give to ourselves that life. Oh, we beseech it of Thee, Lord, in Thy house of prayer, according to Thy own institution, which Thou hast given unto us as the means of seeking Thee. Lord, wilt Thou then show that they are Thy own means, that it is Thy own institution, also the preaching of Thy holy word, that Thou mayt own it in this day, to be Thy own, that it may be experienced in the heart of each and every one of us. When Thou wilt give the application through the foolishness of preaching, Lord, we know not the way, but wilt Thou guide us in Thy way to strip us of everything that is of self, that we may receive a word from Thee that is spoken in due season, for Thou knowest the hearts of each and every one of this flock. Lord, Thou knowest what we stand in need of. Each one, and not only in the state in which we are, but also in the condition. May Thou then remember young and old together, as we together go one more week and day by day and hour by hour, closer and closer to that great meeting with Thee, where we will stand, each one of us, by ourselves. Oh, then we cannot enter into that place with one another, as much as we would care for one another here upon this earth. Then it is a personal matter between Thee and our own soul. Oh, then we need a mediator. Oh, we need a surety. We need one to stand for us. Lord, impress us savingly with impressions from above, that we may know what we stand in need of, and that we may know of Him who has paid that great price. Wilt Thou look upon each one of us and all the needs and cares in this life, supply for all the afflicted and all the sick ones, and all those that have special needs and cares known to Thee of mind and of body. Wilt Thou supply for the weak and for the handicapped ones? And wilt Thou give to those that are discouraged strength and courage to go forward in this life? And that we may seek and find our foundation upon that solid rock that shall never be washed away in that great storm that is coming. Oh, that we may be given to find a refuge in Thee. And wilt Thou then be with all those that rule and reign over us? Remember our governors and all those that make laws on our behalf. Oh, be on their right and on their left hand in the week that is to come once again, that each day that Thou may strengthen them to do the labors of their hands, for they are called by Thee. And they are set in their offices by Thee, and though it be by the means of men in this world. Thou who art the first cause, wilt Thou also be the first provider? And wilt Thou turn the hearts unto Thyself and to Thy law and to Thy testimonies? Lord, that is not our prerogative. That belongs to Thee. It is Thy own work, who has the heart of kings in Thy hand. Oh, show it also in the nation and in the day in which we are living. And that many that are sitting upon the thrones in our land may be brought upon their knees before Thee. Wilt Thou be with all those that are upon the battlefields? Wilt Thou strengthen in the work of their hands to put away evil from off the earth? And that Thou would give Protection unto all those that are in great danger day by day. Remember all those that mourn, those that they have lost. Wilt thou uphold them also, and wilt thou supply for the fears of parents and of loved ones of those that are upon the battlefields day by day. Lord, remember all thy sent servants, also those that go upon the mission fields, and that thou would remember them in their lonely places so often, and give that they may feel that thine everlasting arms are underneath them also in the labors of their hands, and that thou may bless and that thou may sanctify, and that thy kingdom may come amongst Jew and Gentile. Wilt thou look upon our own school, our youth, our children, and all those that do instruct them, parents and teachers alike? Oh, give to us wisdom. Give to us the tender fear of thy holy name day by day, that it may be evident within our houses, in our homes, in our families, that our children may be brought up according to thy holy statutes and word, and that in the days of their youth they may learn the true and the tender fear of thy holy name. Wilt thou remember us as a consistory, strengthen us in the labors of catechizing our children and youth, and of house visitation and our meetings from time to time. Lord, go before us in the labors of our hands. And wilt thou raise up also more office bearers, and may it be servants, to go before the congregations in our lands. Lord, may thou call them forth, those that may be truly wrought upon by thee, and wilt thou thrust them into thy vineyard, that they may go forth to bring thy word in all of its purity, in all of its preciousness. May it be to the conversion also of our own children and people. Remember us then as a denomination. Lord, we have received from our forefathers thy holy truth. And thou knowest that the heart of the natural man has no desire, therefore. It is a way that is so against our own flesh. But our fathers may know it in the experience. Oh, that we also, their children, may not be ignorant of this truth. We try to bring it also Sabbath by Sabbath, the doctrines according to thy holy word. But Lord, may thou also give us the inward knowledge, that we may experience that these are indeed thy truths, and that we may receive the confirmation thereof in our own soul, and that we may be given to experience what thy servant did say so many years ago, that doctrine is heaven. When he may experience that doctrine within his own soul. Lord, help us then in this afternoon hour. Give us simplicity to bring these doctrines before our congregation. And may thou bring them in our hearts. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 222, stanzas 2 through 5. Let the trumpet far resounding this our festal day proclaim, by our fathers God appointed, when from bondage Israel came. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 222, stanzas 2 through 5. Congregation, the prophet Isaiah did cry to the children of Israel, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is yet near." Is that our life? And does our heart, does our cry also go out unto God with holy longings, with holy hungerings and thirstings after him? Paul has written to the Romans, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." There is actually not a man in the whole world that does not feel something of this, that is the need for God, that is a desire to worship. Even an atheist who declares that there is no God also knows something of this need within his own heart. But who is that God that man is seeking? Is man seeking then that true and that living God? The Lord Jesus said to that Samaritan woman, "Ye worship whom you do not know." And of how many in this world is this not the case? We can read about the Athenians, so ignorant of that true, of that living God, that in their superstition they have built an altar unto the unknown God. Is it any wonder then that Paul says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard?" We cannot rightly worship, we cannot rightly call upon a God that we do not know. But there is more. For also that people that are taught by that true and that living God do not come to the full knowledge of his perfections in this life here below. Thus there is a great difference. That is, in the leading of the Holy Spirit to give that knowledge of that true God, and what we may know of that God for ourselves. Ruth may know of him in the desire in the beginning, "Thy God, my God." But we can read of Peter that he says more, that he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We read of Mary that she may say, "Rabboni," that she may worship him. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And then Paul speaks about being sealed with that Holy Spirit. Thus, there is a great difference in the knowledge of God that a man may be given to attain to here in this world. There is so much to be known. There is so much knowledge that we have lost of him. And that knowledge of him is also a knowledge that may be gained once again. That is not merely with an intellect, but that is also in the experience of the heart here in this world and to all eternity. But then it is necessary also, and that this knowledge is brought to our intellect, and therefore our fathers continue with their instruction, which we wish to do also from Lord's Day 8. Lord's Day 8, questions 24 and 25. Question 24, how are these articles divided? answer into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second of God the Son and our redemption. The third of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Question 25. Since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer, because God hath so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one, only, true, and eternal God. So far our Lord's Day. The Holy Trinity. First, the existence of the Trinity. Second, the work of the Trinity. And third, the experience of the Trinity. For the Holy Trinity, first, his existence. Second, the work. Third, the experience of this Holy Trinity. How are these articles divided? Thus, what articles? They are the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. They are those which we hear read to us Sabbath after Sabbath day. And why is it that we read these articles every Sabbath day? That is because of their importance. As a simple statement of what our beliefs are. The articles which we read are the oldest of our creeds. Those creeds whereby we distinguish ourselves from what others are teaching concerning that holy word of God. And it is this creed that did serve as the basis for those other creeds, which we can find in the back of our Psalter, the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Ephesian Creed, the Chalcedonian Creed. Those creeds have been further developments. Why? Well, they have developed as errors were brought into the church. Thus, our fathers have seen it necessary, because those who said that they taught the doctrines of God's word taught things which were contrary to it, and therefore the necessity of these further creeds. Thus, congregation, it is possible that as churches that we are using the same creeds. We hear that sometimes, young people. We all use the same creed. That may very well be. But just because we are using that same creed does not mean that we necessarily agree over the whole truth. Because those creeds, they are simple statements of that truth. They speak about the very basic doctrines. And what is that truth? The Apostles' Creed, that immediately, that fundamentally embraces the truth of the Holy Trinity. Thus we find that that whole creed is itself organized around that work of the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thus, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is one of the most essential and basic doctrines of that holy word of God. There are some that object to the term Trinity because you cannot find this term Trinity written in the word of God. But this objection is not substantial. In other words, the substance of that Trinity we do find in the word of God. And that term that is so necessary in the days in which we live to fight against the errors and that are taught concerning the
existence and the being of God. That word Trinity, that is an expression of who God is. That is, as far as God has revealed Himself to us and our children in His Word, can we ever completely comprehend and understand God? No, that is impossible. God is so infinite. God is working also in such a mysterious way. Even His works are not to be understood by us. They are in the sea. His paths, they are not known by us. How much less His very being, His existence. No, when we think that we are able to completely comprehend this great God, then we think much too highly of ourselves. Even in our state of innocence, the man himself was not able to comprehend his Creator. And yet, the Lord has revealed Himself. And yet the Lord is pleased to tell His creature things concerning Himself, things concerning who He is. Holy men of God speaking as they are given to speak, as they are inspired to speak by the Holy Ghost. Is that ever a wonder to us? That after we have departed from Him in our father Adam, that we have said to Him, we have no desire for Thee or for the knowledge of Thy ways, that the Lord from His side is coming. When we have lost the knowledge of Him to give that knowledge of that true and living God here upon the earth again. Thus we have not a religion of understanding, but we have a religion of faith. That is faith in that holy revelation of God. We cannot come to understand Him. When we come to understand nature in this world, children, young people, you may receive an education. You may study in school, in university. You may go into the depths of all that may be known in our day of this whole creation. But in all the creation, then you can never come to rightly know that true and that living God. You may know in that He exists. You may see that He is a great God. You may know that He is a God of order. But you may never come to know anything of His character. You may never come to know what your fallen state is before Him. You may never come to know what He is in His holy being, that is, in that holy Trinity. Thus, those things that are revealed unto us in His Word, they are things that belong to us and to our children. And those things that are not revealed unto us are things that are reserved for God Himself. And this we must in a special way remember when we approach the subject of this Holy Trinity. Because here we tread on holy ground. There is no example even in this whole world in a natural way that we may lay before you in order to say, see here, now this is what that Holy Trinity is like. There is nothing that can be compared unto this Holy Trinity. And therefore we may only receive that knowledge of that Trinity directly out of His Holy Word. And may the Lord give to us a place in speaking and in listening of humility before this great God. The Scriptures, and they speak of the existence of three persons in one Godhead. That is a tri-unity or a trinity. Thus, in the first place, the scriptures reveal that there is but one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There cannot be congregation to infinite beings. The Lord says, do not I fill the heaven and the earth? Thus, if the Lord is filling with his Godhead this heaven and earth, then it is impossible that there would be another God next unto him. There also cannot be two first causes of all things. Only meditate on that for a few moments, then you will understand that this would be complete confusion. There also cannot be two almighty, two omnipotent powers in this world, because one must of necessity then be stronger than the other. The perfect harmony that we may see and experience in our universe, that is evidence that there is but one God, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me, he says. But our catechism that says, since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? God hath so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, are the one only true and eternal God. Thus, then our fathers introduce here one of the greatest mysteries and that we can find in the Holy Scriptures. At his baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ has given evidence of this Trinity. Then who was baptized? It was the Lord Jesus, boys and girls. You remember this. He went down into the water. But then who spoke? That was the Father. And thus the voice of the Father was heard as that Son of God has received his baptism. And then we read that the third person, the Holy Spirit, has descended in the form of a dove. Thus, at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we see the evidence, the clear evidence of these three divine persons. When that early church had wanted to prove the existence of the Trinity, then it was their expression, go unto the Jordan. And then we have read here also together from 1 John 5, and verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Thus, many places, some more clearly than others, in God's word, very plainly setting before us the truth of the existence of the three in one God or the Trinity. There is a mystery that we cannot understand. One God in three persons. Three in one, one in three. All persons of the same nature. All persons having in themselves the same essence. What did the Lord Jesus say? I and my Father are one. One of them is not more God than another. There are no degrees within this Godhead. There is not subordination in this Godhead. One of the persons above, another of the persons below one another. But each of them co-equal to one another. They are equal in honor, they are equal in worship, they are equal in praise. They are all said to be eternal. They are all said to be omniscient. They are all said to be omnipresent. And yet at the same time, there is an order in the Godhead. Thus we do read that the Father is called the first person. The Son is called the second person. And the Holy Spirit is called the third person of that Holy Trinity. That is not a being first or second in dignity or superiority. No, but an order, or what we will call a priority. And not only so, but we see in our second thought, to each of these three persons is attributed a certain work. How are these articles divided into three parts? The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second of God the Son and our redemption. The third of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Thus, to the Father is attributed the creation of the world. Most of the time in the Bible, creation of the world is attributed unto God, which is pointing unto the Father, Christ Himself. He said from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Thus, He is speaking about His Father. This does not mean, however, that the other persons had nothing to do with this creation of the world. When Moses wrote of this creation, then he spoke of God as speaking within that Holy Trinity amongst one another, let us make man in our own image. Thus, not only the decreeing of the Father, but also the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what do we read when we read that creation? We read of the Spirit is moving upon the face of the waters. Thus, the Spirit also involved in the creation of this world. Paul speaks of God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Thus, also the Son has somewhat to do with the work of creation. Thus, in the first place, that work attributed unto the Father, but not completely divorced from the work of the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit. Then our Father speak about the work of redemption. That is also the work of the triune God. But the work of redemption remains in a particular manner the work of the Son of God. Certainly the Father did not suffer. And the Father did not die. Thus, this was something that belonged only to the Son. Thus it is clear that the redemption did not belong to the Father and the Spirit in the same way that it has belonged to the Son. Then we can read about the work of the Holy Spirit. And what is the work of the Holy Spirit? That is the work of application. To take that which was accomplished by the Son and to work within the heart of the elect in this world. Is that work of application divorced from the Father and divorced from the Son? No, it is not. What do we read? That the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Spirit is sent by the Son. Thus, it is not completely divorced from them, but it is in a special way that the Spirit is the one who is entering into the heart of the elect. There he takes up his abode, and there he begins to influence the heart of a man, and from that influence, then man is receiving new life from the dead. That he becomes a willing person in the day of the power of the Lord. Christ promised his disciples to send that Holy Spirit after his departure, and he said something about the work that that Holy Spirit would do. And what did he say? He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Thus, the Lord Jesus attributes unto the Spirit the work of teaching his children and of bringing to their remembrance the things that were spoken by him. Thus we see as something of a distinction, that one God, that one unity, yet there is an order, first, second, third person, and then there is a distinction also in their work. The Father of creation, the Son of redemption, the Holy Spirit of the application. Thus there is what we call an economy in the Godhead. That is an economy in the administration of the affairs concerning the church of God. God shows himself in his word to be a God of order. What a disorder is promoted by those who believe that there are many gods, that there are envyings between these gods, and that these gods are fighting with one another, some making even of the creation, in the time that we live in, of the creation itself, a god, god of the stars, and making a god of the earth, of the world, of our atmosphere, of the whole creation. On the other hand, the Mohammedans accuse us of worshiping three gods when we worship that Holy Trinity in their quest for a single God. And they have denied the Trinity. They believe that Allah is God, and they make no distinctions between any persons within God. A congregation that makes salvation itself an impossibility. It is impossible that man would be saved without a divine mediator, without a mediator who is actually God himself. The Mohammedans do not reject God as they do not reject the Lord Jesus as a good person, a good man, no, as a prophet, yes, they believe in him. But is he God? No. Thus, they see no necessity, and they see not the atonement itself in that sacrifice that Christ has made for his church. The Mohammedans are also rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit in the application of that salvation. They say it is not necessary. Thus, in their rejection of the Trinity, the whole salvation of man is completely turned upside down. But how is that now with us? Because we do not reject that Trinity. And that is good. If we may believe that God is indeed who He represents Himself to be in His Word. But it is still not enough. Because this God we must come to know. Let us sing first from Psalter 423, stanzas 1 and 4. Jehovah reigns as King. To Him all homage bring, ye islands, earth and ocean. Break forth in glad devotion, dark clouds of secrecy enshroud His majesty. The pillars of His throne are fixed on truth alone and perfect equity. 1 and 4 of Psalter 423.
Congregation, it is impossible to maintain the true doctrine according to the Word of God when we are not founded and grounded upon the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. But it is also impossible to receive that true salvation itself outside of the work of this triune God. You and I have to do with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Therefore, though we may know this doctrine, though we may have been brought up in this doctrine from our youth, let us ask ourselves a moment, what do we know in a personal way of these three persons of that Holy Trinity? Then you say, how does that go? How does a person experience these three distinct persons? Or must we not say that there is so much confusion concerning this question in the world in which we are living? Young people, we live in a world wherein the name of that second person of that Holy Trinity is on the lips of so many people. So many expressions coming out of that holy word of God. And yet, we must fear that so much of it is not grounded upon the work of a triune God. When the Lord is working in the heart of His church, the Lord is bringing them back to paradise. There we did not leave the second person of the Trinity. There certainly we did not leave the Savior, the Mediator. There was no necessity for Him as such in such an office when we left Him in paradise. How many people in the world in which we live do not with great freedom address God as their own personal Father? But how we must fear that it is not grounded upon the work of that triune God. What is the first person who is experienced in the life of God's people? We have just finished saying that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to apply the merit of Christ in the heart of His church. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for this merit of Christ for His church. Thus, the first person that is actually experienced in the life of the people is the Holy Spirit. However, that Holy Spirit is not revealing Himself unto the people. But that Holy Spirit is working secretly to soften, to convince, to convict of sin. Thus, which is that person that the Holy Spirit is first making known to such a person in their life? When they are lying, polluted in their own blood and cast out in the open field, when they are lying, dead in sins and in trespasses, and they are regenerated, when they are born again,
when they are renewed by the working, by the power of that Holy Spirit, what is now the first person that that Holy Spirit is showing unto such a sinner? That is the Father. That is the first person that such a one comes to meet. Does such a person then, may such a person then, immediately call him Father? No. And why not? Because he does not know, he does not realize that he is a child. Is he a child? Yes. Because when the Holy Spirit works, then he gives a new birth, then there is a child. But as it is in natural life, so is it in spiritual life. So that to be a child and to know that I am a child are two different matters. That is how it is in the experimental life of God's church. And not only so, but what condition are those regenerated in? What condition are they in when they may be shown something of that first person of that Holy Trinity? Their state is good. That is a state of grace. They are regenerated. They are taken from darkness. They are brought into light. But what is their perception? What are they shown? Oh, they are given to perceive themselves to be lost. They are given to perceive themselves to be in a broken covenant of works. They are given to see that they are estranged from God, without God in this world. Do we also know something of that working of that Holy Spirit? Then they perceive that they have departed from that true and that living God, that they have sinned against Him. Boys and girls, how do we say that so simply? When you are naughty, who do you not want to see? Say, I do not want to see my Father. Well, why do you not want to see your Father? Well, because then you are expecting that you have to give an answer, that you have to say what you have done, and you will receive a punishment. Thus, when you have been naughty, what is the capacity in which you will meet your Father? You will meet Him in the capacity of a judge. Congregation, when the Holy Spirit convinces us of our sin, shows to us what we have done, then the first person of that Holy Trinity that we have to meet is God the Father. But we do not then perceive Him as our Father. No, when we have sinned, then we will perceive Him as our judge. Then we do not appear before Him as His child. No, but we appear before Him as a transgressor, as a sinner. Thus, we may speak about God as Father, But have we ever become a sinner before God, that we may meet Him as our judge? It can be no different than this. Every one of us, having sinned and come short of that glory of God, and unless we have met the Father as judge, as our maker, as our creator, Him before whom we have to appear, what need will there be seen and felt in our soul for God the Son? The work of the Son is complete. That is accomplished on that tree, Golgotha. But that second person of the Trinity also must be experienced in the life of the church. And how is He experienced? He has an office. And what is the office that is given to Him? That is the office of mediator. That is the office of surety. Thus, we may speak of Jesus, and we may have the name of that second person of that Holy Trinity upon our lips. But was there ever in our life a need for a mediator? Was there ever a need for a surety? That second person of the Trinity is the second person that is made known to that church. But how is He made known? He is not made known as their elder brother immediately. As the elder brother of myself who am a child of God. No, but room is made in the heart for that mediator through the knowledge of the displeasure of the Lord, of the wrath of God upon our sin. Oh, that mediator is revealed as the way, the truth, and the life. To whom? To those who long to return unto that God again and cannot see how that they can return to Him. It is His shed blood that is open to that people so that they may view, that they may see, that they may know that way of free and sovereign grace through the merits of another. And it is by the revelation of this mediator that the second person in that Holy Trinity now becomes desirable unto that church. And that they are seeking not only to return unto their Maker, their Creator, but they need to satisfy that judge. And when they are not able to satisfy, and when He may be revealed as He that satisfied the justice of His Father, oh, then how altogether lovely is that second person. White and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, it is by Him and Him alone, and that I may receive that fulfillment of that desire that is placed in the heart in that first moment of regeneration, that I may return, that I may be reconciled unto my Maker. All that is only in this way that God is seen as the Father of His people. It is when the judgment of that people is taken away, and it is necessary that the Holy Spirit is giving the application to this. It is through the knowledge of the Son of God that the children of God, being taught of the Holy Spirit, that they may be given to know also themselves as the children of God. And then it is also in that further work that the apostle speaks about the knowledge also of that Holy Spirit and the sealing work of the Holy Spirit in the life of his church. Congregation, who can fathom that triune God? Who can fathom what we have lost? Who can fathom what we have left? Who can fathom what we have rebelled against in our father Adam? And this God is a God of order. And we do not say that the ways of every one of God's children can all align up so nicely that they are all the same. No. And yet God is a God of order, and the Holy Spirit in his work is beginning at the beginning. Oh, what a comfort for that true church of God to know and to experience that it is a triune God that is caring for every one of their needs in the salvation of their soul. The Father, the Son, that Holy Ghost from eternity, decreeing, meriting in the time, applying in the time. Paul says, for he that did predestinate, so who did predestinate, that is the Father himself. And him that he did predestinate, them he also called. Thus calling the work of the Holy Spirit. And those that he called, them he also justified. How? Through the merits of his Son. And what does he say will happen? Them he also glorifies. Thus, he is going to finish that work that he has begun. Thus, what a wonder if we may have the triune God reconciled to our own soul. Congregation, on the other hand, what must that be if against us for time and eternity is a triune God? Oh, how can we but shudder to think of such a God and the wrath that will be borne by us when we have no desire even under the preaching of his name, under the callings that come to us for the knowledge of his ways. Oh, is there ever a desire in your heart to be reconciled unto God? Is there ever a desire in your heart, children, young people, that you also may be reconciled unto this triune God? Say, does that still happen today? Oh, that still happens today. It is going to happen even to the end of this time until that last one is drawn in. Thus the Lord is calling that triune God, calling, 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 calling by way of the preaching, the reading of his word, calling by way of the accidents, the ways of his providences, the prosperity as well as the adversity, calling, calling, calling. Why would ye die? That door of grace, he himself has opened. And it is not shut until that last day. Then it will be shut. John says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, it is the application of that blood that is reconciling a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, unto a triune God. Congregation, how is it possible? How is it possible that we go through this life seeking the things that are of this time that are passing away? Do you know how it is possible? It is possible because we are dead. Oh, you say we cannot give ourselves life? No. Oh, but the Lord has given us knees. The Lord has given us hands, oh, that it may be bound upon our hearts. That on that last day of days, that triune God may not speak against us. But that while He still calls, that we may be given to hear His voice. Amen. O Lord, one thing Thou sayest is needful. Oh, we cannot choose that part. That triune God, that He may be made precious to us. Lord, draw us. We will run after Thee. That is our only hope. That is our only expectation. Oh, we can speak to others. We can speak it to ourselves, but Thou alone can give us what we need. Remember us in mercy. Bless Thy word this day. Forgive our many sins. Go with us in the week to come. We lay once more before Thee the little child to go into the hospital. Remember him. And all of us together, each one in our place in this world, keep us from an accident. Keep us from danger. Keep us from sickness. But keep us also from foolishness. From the foolishness of seeking only what is here below. And from rejecting Thee. Oh, keep us from this. And that we may glorify Thee for time and for eternity. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 276, 1 through 4. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is Thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. 1 through 4 of 276.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.